Seed Media brings to you God's Word, which is His comprehensive equipment for changing lives. May the Lord impact your heart as you encounter His Word. For further inquiry or counsel, contact Peace House, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone numbers 0703-036-3659, 0703-768-1198. Email address nsmedia@livingseed.org or visit our website at www.livingseed.org. Let us sit back and listen as the servant of God brings forth the word of life.
Let's go to Matthew. We are going to read Matthew chapter 11. And then we shall read the Ecclesiastes. No? The Lamentation that somebody read for us yesterday. Chapter 3. I'm hoping we can read it all together. Matthew 11. Let me ask someone with a loud voice. Or if we have the microphone, where's my microphone carrier? Tandela? Alright. You will carry the microphone to someone. Verse 28. Matthew chapter 11, 28, 29, and 30. And then while she finishes giving it to someone, another person will read for us the Lamentations. Chapter 3, verse 27. We read it up to verse 30. Yes. Who is reading for us?
Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
That's good. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Where is the Lamentations? Chapter 3, verse 27, 28, 29, and 30, that we want someone to help us read. Yes, sir.
And it is good for people to submit at an early age to the yoke of his discipline. Let them sit alone in silence beneath the Lord's demands. Let them lie face down in the dust, for there may be hope at last. Let them turn the other cheek to those who strike them, and accept the insults of their enemies.
Did you get up to verse 30? Please add verse 31.
31.
Yes, sir.
For no one is abandoned by the Lord forever.
No one is abandoned by the Lord forever. Are you reading New Living Translation?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, is there anybody who has the Amplified Bible? Somebody was helping me read Amplified Bible before. Can you read Amplified?
It is good for a man that he should bear the yoke of divine disciplinary dealings in his youth. Let him sit alone uncomplaining and keeping silent in hope, because God has laid the yoke upon him for his benefit. Let him put his mouth in the dust in abject recognition of his unworthiness. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who smites him, even to his human agents. Let him be filled full with man's reproach in meekness, for the Lord will not cast off forever.
Praise the Lord. Thank you very much. So we are reading two passages which we want to discuss in understanding the matter of discipleship, and at what time should we take that yoke upon our lives, and how do we do it. I would like to make it as free discussion. When you have a question, I will say, raise your hand. I will take it if there is. If there's none, we keep going. We have a short time to do it, but it's okay. The Lord will help us. Now, in Matthew, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke, and I want you to understand a few things he said. I will just be mentioning them as we go ahead. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." Let me first note that whether you come under discipleship of the Lord Jesus or not, are you hearing me? You are not free. There is no human being on earth that is what? That is free. Actually, you only become free when you come under the hand of Jesus. When you are not in Christ, you are in crisis. Every man that is not in Christ Jesus is under the power of the evil one. Everyone. Even when you don't know about it, you are under the power of the evil one. So several of the things that we have been discussing casually and talking about, actually the truth of the matter is that until you come to Jesus, you cannot actually be free. If you can check all that we have been looking at various points, as at preaching and teaching, the seminar on marriage, everything, the Bible study, all that we are doing, the truth of the matter and the bottom part is that once a man has not come to Christ, he is a victim of everything else. And if God does not, if I use the word capture you now, it might be a strong word, but actually, if God does not snatch you from the hand of the devil, he is moving very fast to make sure he wrecks you. That's what he does. So when God offers to you and say, "Come unto me," I want you to know that it's an offer for deliverance. So when we talk about discipleship, which I'm going to draw from here now, actually, whereas other people will think that you are entering into a bondage, sincerely speaking, it's only when you come to Christ that the reality of your freedom, the freedom for you to explore your personality, and for you to be the man, the woman that God wants you actually to be, that's when it comes out. When you are not in Christ Jesus, you are under the power of the evil one. And may I say that every other man, be he a big man in government, Be ye a cleaner in the office. Be ye a politician. Be ye an academician. Who is not in Christ Jesus, they are honestly in crisis. It is because of the crisis in which every one of them is in that you have all manner of things that is going on. Men are not free. If you are not in Christ Jesus, you will still not be free. You will still be in bondage. The devil, the taskmaster, will still exploit your life. So the first thing we saw Jesus say is, come unto me. All of you that are heavy laden, and you are laboring, and you are under a yoke, I will give you rest. So let's note that the first thing that God does ever before he begins to show you the yoke of discipleship is to first of all snatch you from the kingdom of darkness. No servant can serve two masters. Am I communicating with you? You cannot be yoked to two masters and your life will be correct. No way. So Jesus said, he will either choose one and leave the other, or he will accept this and let that other one go. No one can serve how many masters? Two masters at the same time. No way. So may I first say that we are talking about discipleship now only because Jesus has snatched you from the kingdom of darkness. All the decisions you are making as you are stepping out, as you are giving your heart to Christ, as God is doing something in your life, it's a great beginning. Very great beginning. As I sat back every time as the word of God was coming, and the Holy Spirit is moving, and I've chatted with some of you, and I saw some of you saying, oh, it was last month that Jesus took my life. Someone say, it was last year that Jesus came into my life. Or some say, it was during the last year Congress that my life changed. And others are saying, even this year, I'm just handing my life over to Christ. That thing is taking you out of bondage and bringing you to liberty. Hallelujah. But now, all those that have been snatched from the bondage of Satan, that God has given you rest from all the troubles that we are talking about, what is God's offer to actually make you to enter your permanent rest? That's what we see in that verse 29. And I want to say to you very quickly, discipleship, the kind that Jesus is offering us in that verse 29, which we are going to read now, it is not a yoke of bondage. So if you are writing in your note, write in your note that the discipleship with Jesus is not a yoke of bondage. It's a yoke for training. It's a yoke for accomplishment. It is a yoke for fulfilling my career and my mandate in life. It is a yoke to find rest for my soul. Please take note of that. So, if you have come to verse 29, can we now spend time to look at verse 29? Can we? Verse 29 now says, take my yoke upon you. I want all of you to mark the word take. My yoke upon you. Take. The first thing you will see there is that because it's not a yoke of bondage, it is voluntary. Where is the word voluntary? Where did it come out in that Bible verse? Eh? Take. Take. That's what makes it voluntary. If it is a yoke of bondage, do they need to say take? Do they need to say take? What would they do? They will simply throw it on your neck, whether you like it or not, and drag you. So let me quickly say that discipleship, Christian discipleship, the kind that Christ offers, is not a yoke of bondage. It is not involuntary. It is not involuntary. It is not something that somebody forces you into. And it is not a drag. Please follow me now. It is not someone doing what? Dragging you. And say whether you like it or not. Follow me. It's not a drag. Take my yoke upon you. Now, because the word take allows your voluntariness, allows your personal choice, you have a personal choice to either take that yoke or not. But maybe because it is voluntary, many people think it is not necessary. The voluntariness of discipleship, which points at the grace of God and the magnanimity of the Lord, makes it an offer for you, even though it is a necessary thing you need to do in order for you to succeed in life. Hallelujah. So, let's quickly note now that God offers you this yoke and he said, take it. Now, what are the issues that is coming up there? The Bible is saying, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Because it is voluntary, everywhere you see Jesus calling people into discipleship, are you hearing me? He never forces them. I need to explain that so that when you go from here, in case you meet somebody who is forcing you to be his disciple, he is not following the word of God. Is that okay? And that's not what we are learning. If you meet someone who threatens you that if you don't submit to him, you are doomed, that is a cultist. Is not a correct man to follow. Jesus never forces anybody into his discipleship. Are we together? Alright. So when he said take, if you go from here, let's look at other passages where you see that voluntariness all the time, all the time. Why am I emphasizing this? If we don't allow the biblical voluntariness of discipleship, we will have destroyed it. Because it will then become legalistic. Then it will become a personality cult. It will become what they call heavy shepherding, where somebody is ruling your life without your consent. Are we together? So discipleship that God is pointing to you as a way for your own training of life, for you to prepare for the future that God has for you, leaves you personal choice. It leaves you personal expression of your will. It does not make you a robot. Are you with me? So discipleship does not first rob you of your capacity to make a choice. It does not rob you of your capacity to even take a decision. Discipleship only offers you opportunity to be trained, for your life to be trained, for your life to be crafted and be developed, so that you can be the best in the hand of God and for the future that God is arranging and planning for your life. Do you understand to this point? So you will see Jesus at every time. You will see it say in Luke chapter 9. Let somebody quickly stand and read Luke 9 for us. Verse 23. Luke 9, 23. Let me get someone somewhere in the middle there. Carry the mic. Read it from NIV, from Good News, from New King James. Yes.
And he said to them all,
If
any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.
Now, do you find any voluntariness in that verse 23? Please point out what are the things that shows voluntariness of that verse 23.
If any man
will come after me. How did Good News put that? If anyone, Good News?
And he said to them all,
yes.
Anyone who wants to come with me
must forget. Alright. If anyone wants to come with me, fine. If you don't want to come with me, go your way. Are we together to that point? Right. Is there any other thing you see in that verse 23 that shows voluntariness? Did you see any other thing that makes you see that this thing is voluntary? Yes, there's a brother, the sister at the back. Yes.
Anyone who wants to follow me must put aside his own desires and conveniences and carry his cross with him every day and keep close to me.
Okay. If he wants, even though discipleship with Jesus Christ has very definite condition, but this condition is only when you decide to come. Is that okay? Okay. So, if any man has a desire to come after me, to come after. What version is that, sir? Bible in basic English. He said, if any man has the desire to come after me, are we together? So, let me quickly say that whereas discipleship is a very great necessity, it is a great prerequisite to become something in the hand of God, yet it remains a voluntary choice. That all of you are in this student congress, are you hearing me? We cannot force you to enter into discipleship. After we have spoken and spoken and spoken and spoken, the choice must always be whose? Yours. You must be the one to say, I want to follow Jesus this way. I want to be discipled by him. I want to grow in this kind of life that I'm hearing, that God is showing me. Nobody must throw the rope on your neck and be dragging you. Do you understand? Okay. Now, let's go back. He now says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is what? Is light. So this yoke of discipleship is the yoke for learning who? Learning Christ. Learning Christ. So, let's quickly establish that for you to be what God wants you to be, God has offered you something that will bring you to find rest for your soul when you learn Christ. Some people will be asking, how does discipleship, how does he make me a great professor? That's where I wanted to spend a bit of time. I want you to know that whereas you can cut skills, but the quality of life you have is what actually gives value to whatever else you want to do. The Bible says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his life? Say, what will you give in exchange for your life? Please, let's read it. Would you like to read Luke 9, verse 24? Yes. There's a hand there. There's one sister. Look at her hand. Yes, thank you. You are reading Luke 9?
24.
Read from 23 now to 24, 25.
Then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self?
My God. My God. This is the issue. This is where the issue is. I want all of you to go back on it now. It says, for whosoever shall save his life what will happen? He will lose it. This is where the offer of discipleship becomes critical. You know, many people will not want to commit themselves to Christ because they think they are protecting something. You don't know that it is better to give Him what you cannot keep, so that you can save what you will not be able to lose. If you don't put your life in His hand, you cannot keep it. Let me tell you the truth, young man. If you don't keep your life in His hand, in the hollow of His hands, you cannot keep your life from damaging it. The devourers are going to collect it. And so the Bible now says, whosoever will save his life, whosoever is struggling to keep his life, what will happen? He will lose it. But whosoever will lose his life into my hand or for my sake, the same shall do what? Shall save it, shall keep it. For what is a man advantaged? And I love the way the sister read it. What version did you read, dear sister? NIV. Now you are going to repeat it for me again. Let me finish King James, then you read NIV. And then, Prof, you will read your BBE for us. He says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gained the whole world? And I'm asking, is there anybody that can gain the whole world? It's not possible. But let's even imagine that it was possible for you to gain the whole world and you lose yourself. What is your advantage? What is that advantage? Sister, now read it. Read that verse 24 and 25.
For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good it is for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self?
Oh my God. Hi. You know, that scripture just finished me. Yes. Of what use is it for a man to try to gain the whole world? And sometimes, you know, it has happened practically. I found ladies that have worked so hard, their PhD, but they have no, their life is so scattered. They cook and eat alone. There are any so many, many thousands and thousands of rands. For what? Their life is empty. Because when they were young to have given it to Jesus, they didn't. They gave it to one useless non-entity that finished them. Now he has no marriage. All her children are scattered and they are looking at them. When she's happy, listen, nobody to smile with. You know how terrible it is that you are happy and you have nobody to talk with.
and then in your room alone, because you have just been, you just feel maybe you are promoted. They say, now, if you see somebody who is laughing to herself alone, what's happening to that person? She's getting ready for psychiatry. Do you know that if you are a great cook, you cooked, there's nobody to eat with. Nobody to say, God, this thing is sweet. You tasted it before when you were cooking it. When you finished cooking it, you served it. Nobody to call and say, come and eat. You ate alone. Then when you finish, you went and washed your plate alone. Is that a good life? Very miserable. Prof, please.
For whoever has a desire to keep his life will have it taken from him.
Mm.
But whoever gives up his life because of me will keep it. For what profit will a man have if he gets all the world but undergoes loss or destruction himself?
So you see, when you do not respond to discipleship, you will experience self-destruction. Your life itself is what will be lost. But yet, I want you to know that it's voluntary. I want you to know that even as we have talked, you know, I've been talking since Sunday. And tonight, I'm still talking. Yet, I can't throw the yoke of discipleship on your neck. I will still allow you to make your choice. But should you not make a correct choice of handing that life for Jesus and say, I want you to train this my life and keep it for your glory. If you don't, you will lose it. When you read that battle for the young, there is no story in that small book that is a fictitious story. It's not a drama. Every story you read there happened. Every one of it. I told a story of my colleague. We were to serve our nation together. And the day we landed where we were supposed to be serving, some people came to welcome us. And as they were allocating us to our different apartments, I was expecting this man. He was supposed to be a Christian. In fact, he was supposed to be the leader of our fellowship. I was expecting that he would be eager so that he would take apartment where some of us are also going so that we can have fellowship. He did not. Then they invited us to a welcome party. And I saw that these people inviting us for party, they are not Christian. I told them, so I'm a Christian, I don't attend party. My friend went. It's a choice. And they went for that party, and for that evening, they decided to serve them with assorted drinks, alcoholic drinks. And he sat there,
According to him, this is what he said to me. He said, no, I will not take beer. I don't want to take alcohol. Give me soft drink. So he was asking for Coke. And all of them first laughed at me. I said, are you a woman? You're asking for women drink. So when one girl, just a girl, came and opened a bottle of beer and said, even me, a girl, I finished a bottle just like that. How much more a big man like you? You're saying they should give you Coke. How can you do that? So my friend said he felt a little ashamed. So he said, okay, they should just give him a cup. Just a small cup. Only that one cup finished him. From that cup, he finished the bottle. He asked for another bottle. By the time I'm talking to you, my friend Stanley became a drunk. He will be, you know, just the final issue was after some years, he couldn't find his way back. Very brilliant. We were lecturing together. But he will move from one gate to another until he himself was caught. First they say syphilis, then HIV. One day I went to see him and he looked at me. He used to call me bro. He said, bro Billy, this is what I could have been. But I missed it. See what I am. He's dead. No house. All his degrees wasted. Whosoever does not give his life into his hand, this hand, the great hand that can keep you, you will lose it. So discipleship is a voluntary choice, but it's a choice to preserve your life for a glorious use. It's a voluntary choice to train your life in order to fit into the glory that God is having for you, not only in heaven, even on earth. Praise the Lord. All these brothers, they are talking to you about marriage, about this, about that. There was one matter they have not told you about. It is that ever before their marriage will ever fall into shape, the first thing they did was that they put their life into discipleship. Are you understanding? They say, and when you want to pick a wife and all of that, there is something that trains a life to be able to make right choices. It is discipleship. You don't wake up and say, I'm looking for a woman, and you get the right one. If you are in the bush, you can only find a bush rat. I'm telling you the truth. You know, I don't know how to paint anything. A wild animal will only meet a wild animal. That's how it will be. If you are on the untamed animal, moving from one place to another, that is what you will find. So you see, what God offers, he says, so that you may find rest to your soul, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am meek and lowly of heart. And you will do what? Find rest for your soul. What, you know, draws my own heart onto discipleship is that actually it is that. Okay, so let's move from here now. Let's quickly go to the lamentation that we read so that you can see what this discipleship is meant for. Now, you read for us from New Living Translation. Did you read from New Living Translation? Where is the one that read Amplified Bible? Or you read Amplified Bible. So give them microphones. No more microphone. Alright. Thank you. Yeah. Come this way. Thank you. Yes. It is good.
That he should bear the yoke of divine disciplinary dealings in his youth.
Now,
let him sit.
Wait. When we read from that old King James and said, it is good for a man that he should bear the yoke in his youth. What is that yoke? That's what Amplified helped us to put together. He said, it is good for a man that he should bear the yoke of divine disciplinary dealings in his youth. So you see, the yoke of discipleship we are talking about, the scripture introduces and said, the yoke of divine, what? Disciplinary dealings in his youth. You see, disciplinary dealings, many people don't understand that discipline is not punishment. Some people only think discipline is because you have done something wrong and they need to discipline you. No. The right word for discipline actually has little or nothing to do with punishment. If there is anything about corrective discipline, it's only a little part of it. But discipline itself is a training to inculcate into your life a manner of doing things until it becomes you. I don't know how you understand that now. Let's imagine that I want to train you now, train you on sleeping habit. And I want to train you to wake up every morning by 4 a.m. so that by 4 a.m. you are up. You have done your quiet time. You have read a portion of scriptures and you have prepared even your breakfast and your clothes, everything is set so that by 6:30 you are already out of the house. Are you understanding? If that becomes your normal routine, it's a discipline. Is it a discipline? Now, do you know what will happen? Whether when you get married, once it is 4 a.m., you don't need alarm. Something will just do what? Stir you up, and you are up. Has this happened to any of you before? When it is the time, you just find that you woke up, and you are up. Now, that is not something
that everybody is waking you up every day.
No.
It has become you. So discipleship, are you understanding, is a training of life that leaves you with a permanent lifestyle that is compatible with Christ and with the will of God for your life, to such a point that it is no more a struggle. Let me tell you now, because of discipleship, are you hearing me now? I don't struggle to pray. It's my life now. We don't struggle to relate with people because it's a life. I'm not acting. What I'm doing here, are you hearing me? It's not a drama. It's my life. It's effortless. And because it is life, it's a life to live. Do you understand now? Do you know that holiness is a life to live? So you are not wondering, I say, oh, how can I, hey, when will I be able to live in holiness? No, it's a life. But for it to become life, there is the yoke of disciplinary dealings that God wants you to take upon yourself and learn of me. Do you understand that now? So discipleship is rather a life training that trains your spiritual life, trains even your physical life, until you acquire the lifestyle of Jesus as a normal life. We are not talking about what you dress up to church to go and do. Mm-mm. We are looking for a life that you will carry to the office, you carry to the laboratory, you carry while you are driving, you carry everywhere, and it will be Christ. So the Bible says, if you want to find that kind of rest for your soul, and you are not going to be doing up and down, up and down. Last week you are in the spirit. This week you are down. You are always going for one church program where the man of God, when he preaches, all you say, then after 1 week, you are back to square one. So you have that inconsistent Christian life, and the only thing that is omitted, what was omitted? The discipleship that will have trained your life onto a consistent lifestyle. And Jesus said, it is good that a man should bear the yoke of divine disciplinary dealings in his youth. When you go and read Isaiah, you see Isaiah also saying, all that God has given me the tongue of the learned. He wakes me up morning by morning. He wakes my ear. God actually disciples people. Now, some of you, I'm hearing you say, how will I hear God? How will I know the right man to marry? You see, I was sitting down there and I was saying, yes. Where we train to hear God on every little issue of life is when we take the yoke upon us and we learn of Him. Are you hearing me now? For me, it's not a problem to know what God will have me do. How will God want me to do something? Where will God want me to go?
What Bible passage does he want me to preach? All of that, no problem. It's a normal life. He talks to me, I talk to him. I don't need to shake my head when I want to hear God. No. It's not an activity. It's a life now. It's a normal life. But how did you get into that? It is as you take my yoke upon you and you learn of me. So the Bible says it is good that a man should bear the yoke when he is young in his youth. Don't wait until many things are spoiled before you start saying, oh Lord, how do I know? How do I know? You see, those who are already married and have picked a man from the wilderness, you're already married. You can't come back and say, hey, I want God to tell me whether the man I marry is the right man to marry or not. I say, listen, you are married. You are married. Go and settle with the and settle with him. Whatever you get, you are married. If you hear any pastor preach to you and saying, yeah, oh, yes, if anyone be in Christ, a new Christian, all things are passed away, it doesn't include the man you marry. You're already married. We can only be praying that the Lord, after so much suffering, he may have mercy on you. So, but when you bring your neck under the yoke of discipleship, now that you are young, what it does is that it begins to train your life. The life that can carry the glory of God is now being trained, is now being developed, so that Christ's life becomes your life. Praise the Lord. Because I have opened a big chapter, within a short hour, I will have to stop here. Now, the next thing I want to tell you is that discipleship is personal. Discipleship is what? Is personal. It's not group. Your discipleship, he said, let him. Did you notice that the scripture says, let him. If any man wishes to be a follower of mine, let him. Did you notice that in the passage we read? Did he say, let them? No. Your discipleship relationship with the Lord Jesus is personal. Do you know why it is personal? It is personal because it is you. It is not us. It's not general. Because it is personal, it is unique to you. Let him take up his cross. Whose cross? My own. So let me quickly say that whereas you can go to church as church members and nobody knows who is who, but discipleship is one-on-one, personal, peculiar, particular, unique focus of God on you, training you to be you, to be who you should be in the purpose of God. You know, you are not a prototype. You are unique. So, your discipleship is God's personal attention offered to you in order for you
to arrive at your destiny as designed for you by God. Am I communicating with you now? So because discipleship is personal, is unique, is peculiar to you and particular to you, please hear me. It does not necessarily compare with someone else. Your rate, the rate of your discipleship, the space of it, and the pace for it is unique to you. And because God is thinking about you, we are many here, but God does not see many. He sees you. He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. You. So you see, discipleship for me is personal. It's my life that God is working on to make what He wants it to be. Now, whereas it's personal to you, it's unique to you, it's particular to you, it's peculiar to you, and it is tailor-made to you. It's tailor-made. It is particularly designed to fit you. That's why in discipleship, the way God may be dealing with you might not be the same with the way we deal with your immediate friend. That's the uniqueness of discipleship. And because every man in Christ Jesus has a deliberate, a definite space in the heart of God, God makes provision for each one of you. That's why, you see, discipleship is a very, very elaborate but intense relationship that takes cognizance of you for who you are and what God wants you to be. Do you understand that now? Now, you may go for a discipleship program, discipleship class, discipleship something, but all of those things, they are only avenues to speak about the need. But your discipleship itself is personal. Let me tell you quickly how it is. Do you know that Jesus, He called disciples, they should follow Him, isn't it? Can I tell you that all of them are not the same? Are they the same? They are not all the same. Different of them. In fact, when you read the list of their names, even the 12, you find that they are very different from one another. But you know what I really enjoyed as I look at discipleship is that Jesus relates with them one by one. Each of them. Can I tell you that when Jesus Christ was there, Martha, Mary, Lazarus, they are from the same family. Eh? And Jesus was giving them opportunity to be discipled. But I discovered that the way He treated Lazarus is not the same the way He treated Martha and the way He treated Mary. Are we together? Now, do you know that Mary Magdalene, they said, before Jesus met her, 7 demons used to live inside her. Which means she was a very wayward woman. Demons.
But when Jesus delivered her, and she began to follow, she began to follow, she began to follow. When Jesus resurrected, and the disciples went to the tomb, do you remember Peter was there? John was there. They ran to the tomb. They didn't see Jesus. What did they see? They saw the cloth, the napkin, neatly rolled, and they went back. But Mary, she said, no, I want to see the Lord. I want to see the Lord. I will not go. When others went, she went inside that tomb again, looking for the Lord. Where Peter and John went and saw nothing, what happened? Jesus, in the same place, what did he do? He appeared. She first thought it was a gardener. She says, excuse me, if you know where they carried my Lord, take me there, go and carry him. Then you know what Jesus did, for you to know what I'm talking about. Jesus could no longer conceal himself. What did he do? He just called her by her name that he used to call her in discipleship. Said, Mary. Oh, Rabboni, my Lord! He didn't need to say more than that, because he knew, she knew now that, that's Jesus. And he wanted to grab him and just say, no, don't, because I have not yet ascended to my Father and to your Father. What could have made a mere Mary that could have been a non-entity to have seen the Lord resurrected even before Jesus went to go and report to God in heaven? It was discipleship. Discipleship gives you opportunity to touch the mysteries of the kingdom as an individual. Discipleship is not about general preaching like this. It is God giving you personal, particular, peculiar, unique attention. I want to tell you two things before I go from there. What am I telling you? Whereas many of you, you are struggling. People don't understand you. Even preachers, they are expecting that you should be this. But if God were to allow you to experience discipleship, just as you are, the way you can understand, that's the way He will relate with you. Are you hearing me? Can you imagine Thomas? Thomas, do you remember Thomas? Thomas was among the 12 disciples. And they have been following Jesus. You would think that everybody understood. So one day in John 14, and that was the final day that Jesus was to have finished talking with them, and said, you know where I'm going. Let not your heart be troubled. And believe in God and believe in me also. Do you remember that passage? Somebody should read it quickly. John 14. I just want you to see something. I'm talking to you about the uniqueness, the personal, particular, peculiar nature of discipleship. I know I'm raising a very big issue, but I'm trusting that I can conclude it. Yes, who is reading 14 for me? Verse 1, 2, 3. Yes, thank you, brother.
It's John 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going.
You know where I'm going. You know, that's Jesus talking to all of them now. This is the final valedictory service. He said, you know the way, you know where I'm going. Go ahead.
Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?
Look at that. These are the final deal. But you see the joy. Listen, all of you, I want you to listen to me. The beauty of discipleship is what I wanted to say there. Uniqueness. Look at how mighty Jesus is. The great man of God. Who has raised the dead. He has opened blind eyes. When he speaks, angels sometimes thunder. But because these brothers were in discipleship, they can ask him questions. So Thomas said, excuse me, sir. Me, I don't know where you are going. How can we know where you are going? Now, here's somebody that has been in the class for 3.5 years. When Jesus thought that, you know, Jesus was speaking confidently, and the way I'm going, you know. Thomas said, excuse me. I don't know. And how can we know? Did Jesus smite his mouth? What did Jesus do? He simply told him, say, And I want you to note now. Read verse 6 for me.
Jesus said to him,
Jesus said to them,
to him.
To him. You see, discipleship is what? Particular, personal. Personal. This thing I'm doing here with you, you may think it's wonderful, but for me, it's just general. What I believe God wanted is you, as an individual, having opportunity for someone in Christ to do what? To focus on you, to answer your personal question, to walk with you until you can understand. I don't know why you're understanding me. To explain to you in your own way. Many people are in church. Nobody knows anything about them. They don't know anything. They are just there. That's why it bothers my heart. When I see you, I know that some of the problems you have is not your fault. No one has cared to show you what to do. Honestly speaking, I know you are not as stubborn as the devil is making look like. But you have had unanswered questions. Nobody has called you aside and said, come, let's talk. What Bragule preached, did you understand it? Nobody. They just expected that you should correct yourself. Nobody has guided you. That is the omission of discipleship that has wasted many, many potentials. Look at Thomas here. He simply said, I don't know. And Jesus said to him, not to them. He says and said, Thomas, I am the way. As I'm talking of the way, me, as you see me here,
I am what? I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And if you have known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and you have seen him. Because you have seen me. Ah, don't go yet. Now, suddenly, Philip raised his hand and said, excuse me, sir. That's Philip. He said, show us the Father. And it will do what? It will suffice us. Me, I've never seen the Father. You said we have seen the Father. Me, I don't know him. Show us the Father. Did you see that discipleship gave opportunity for individuals to be themselves? Nobody is intimidated. Even when Jesus rose and Mary came back and said, I've seen the Lord, I've seen the Lord. And the apostles, Peter, James, and all of them, and they were together when Jesus appeared to them and spoke to them and even ate with them. Brother Thomas was not there. So when they came and said, we have seen the Lord is here, he has risen. You remember Thomas? Thomas said, it's okay, unless I see him. And I'll put my hand where? On his fingernails. Because I know that they nailed him. I want to see where the nail entered. I will put my hand on his side. I will touch his head so I can be sure that the thorn that they put there. Unless that, I will not believe. Me, I no go believe. Where can somebody have such a liberty? It's only in discipleship. It's only when you are in discipleship that you have the liberty even to query something until it is clear to you. Why does God offer you discipleship? So that you are not a follow. Are you hearing me? You are not a copycat. God wants to bring your uniqueness out by giving you personal attention. This is the point. Do you know after 8 days, when Jesus had already said bye-bye to them, he's going to heaven. Since there's a Thomas among them who said, Mio. So when they were singing, oh, hallelujah, yeah, oh yes, oh yes, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thomas was just saying, if he arose, make him come and show himself to me. Peter said, do you mean all of us? We can't convince you. He said, no, it's not about all of you convincing me. I didn't see you when I started following Jesus. I'm not following a group. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He didn't say I should learn group. Even though we're all here as a group and we thank God for me and him, I have to know him. You see, one of the things that have disturbed your own life is that you are just a follow Christian. You copy too many things that you have never learned directly from the Lord. Is that not so? So, you know, after 8 days, they were in the house. Jesus just suddenly came. And as he came, peace be unto you. Hold on, they said, oh, praise God. Did he come for them? No. For whom did he come? No. Thomas. So he just
Thomas. Thomas, come. And then he said, now, bring out your hands. Did you see? Do you not believe now?
Yes, I do.
Okay. How can God come all the way from heaven just to answer the doubt of one man? That's what discipleship is all about. So when Jesus said, it is good, it gives you access to the Lord. It's just because you don't know. If you read your Bible very well, you will notice that most of the things that were written in the Bible, Jesus did not teach it in a conference like this. As they will be going on the road with disciples, those that are close to him. Take for example, Jesus was going on the road one day and he saw a fig tree and he was hungry. You don't expect a man of God like Jesus to be looking for how to catch apple from the tree. How can a man of God like that? You see, we paint a picture when you are preaching big. But when you are moving with him, he's a normal man. It's like when I come here and I'm drinking Amasi and Putu. He said, can man of God eat Amasi? What is big about that? Does the man of God have to mark? Yes. You see, discipleship allows you to see, not from the pulpit, to see life. Do you understand? So that you know whether what you are learning is real or not. So they were going together, and Jesus is hungry. He was hungry, actually. And he wanted to eat that apple that morning. And he got there, and the fig tree was full of leaves, but there was no fruit. Oh, Jesus was disappointed. And he spoke to the tree. He says, never again will anybody eat any fruit from you. You were created to provide an apple for me this morning, and you didn't. You almost finished it. And Jesus said like that, and they were going. The following morning, as they were passing that road, the fig tree has dried from root. Then Peter, because it was close to him, and he saw when Jesus spoke to the tree, he said, excuse me, sir. He said, yes. The tree you spoke to yesterday has dried, sir. He said, yes. Then he said, have faith in God. Whosoever of you that shall say to this mountain, who heard that kind of important message? Peter. And the few disciples that were with him. Do you understand? So it is only in discipleship that you will be touching the truth in the context of life. Do you understand that now? And God wants you to have that kind of life training. That's what you need. That's what, if we don't do it, you will just be a general church member who is tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. It will take many years before you can become anything for God.
Do you understand? So, as they were going, he taught them that. Then another day they were passing, they saw a very big church building. And somebody said, Lord, look at how magnificent this church is. So for you to understand that the discussion between Jesus and his disciple is simple. Some of you think that Christianity is You say, what is that? I'm in the spirit. No. I want you to know. Christian life is a life. We eat peanuts. We can crack a peanut and we're still in the spirit. We can be chatty and talking. And we're still in the spirit. You need to know how to live that kind of life. But it's only that God must give you someone who is not a dramatist. You need someone who actually is living the life. So that while you are following, you can see the life. You know that, yes, this is real. We're not talking of people who just are dramatizing. Life, correct life. So they say, look at this building. Jesus said, yes. As you see it, a time is coming when those two will be left on another. This thing will be finished. Say, Lord, when will it be? Tell us, when are you coming? When will this thing be? So the whole chapter 24 of Matthew, chapter 25, which is talking about second coming of Christ. Some of you think that maybe Jesus organized end time teaching seminar. No. It was as they are going on the road and he was talking to with people. The few disciples. That's what God says we should go and do. How wonderful it is. You see, we have been talking about how to marry. Do you know how wonderful it will be if you, as you are now thinking of marrying, you decided and say, this man that is talking. You tell him, I say, I want to come to your house and see. And then he went. And he allowed you to stay with him. Maybe for 1 month. You see how a woman can handle relationship, how he relates with husband, how he talks, how everything. Do you know that? It is more authentic for you than reading 1,000 books of Americans that you have never met. That is it. So discipleship is a training of your life in a life context, not in a artificial context. Can I tell you? Have you ever seen any husband and wife who come to church and they are fighting? No! How did they do? They come in. And then he will, when it is time to sit down, he will give seat first to the wife. Have you? Madam, come. Don't worry. Come. You know, they are coming together. You know, it's looking gentle, have you? So when they come and I say, excuse me, please, you come and sit there. Please, give seat. My wife needs to sit. Go away from there. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Hallelujah. You see?
That's what they do in church. Abi? Is that what they do at home? At home, when he's coming, he said, "Who is there? I can't understand why you don't know that I'm coming." By the way, where's my food? Now, and such a man will come and be preaching on the pulpit. I was saying, "Husband, love your wife." Nonsense. We don't like that. We need a discipleship that allows us to see the life we're talking about. Practical. For you to ask questions. Check it. If it is true. That is the kind of training that God plans for his people. Do you understand? That's the kind of training. That's what God wanted. And that's what God wants to offer you. If South Africa is going to have a turnaround, we must produce people who have seen life, how it is lived. Eh? So that when they are carrying that life, they know they are not just carrying an empty thing, they are carrying something authentic. Do you understand that now? Do you know that they are talk here? If a man came and proposed to you, don't do that. It doesn't solve the problem. It doesn't. You know why it doesn't solve the problem? The problem is that when the person who is going to propose to you comes, he may never fit into the picture they gave. Eh? Supposing he already knows that you needed to hear that he had a dream, and he went and crafted a very wonderful dream, and he told you a long dream, and he dazed you. He said, "In fact, as I was just waking up out of that dream, the Spirit says, Felicia." "I heard your name three times. Felicia. Felicia." How do you know? But now, discipleship makes you to know, to ask, "Excuse me. There's a man that came and said, as he finished his dream, he just heard my name, Felicia. Then your disciple, who has gone on that road before, he will look back and say, "Actually, that's how my other friend, when we were trying to run after the other girl, we arranged it." When next they come, ask him the following question. That is practical life training. We can't do that here. Because we don't know when he will come and say, Felicia. But, you know, discipleship works with you until your peculiar case is sorted out. Do you understand that now? So, that is the issue. There are peculiar needs that nobody can handle because you are unique. And God is not comparing you with anyone else. God wants to train you
until you become what he wants you to be. So this night, that's the extent to which we can go for talking about discipleship. But it's voluntary. And it is better now that you are young, when things have not been spoiled, when actually relevant questions can be answered. All the other issues about how to do it, when we finish our discussion, I will introduce materials to you, and we will be discussing where we have opportunities for discipleship. Opportunities. We are praying that God will increase correct brothers and sisters in this land that will allow you to see first into their own lives how correct their lives have been, and then be willing to guide you step by step until you become what God wants you to be. Am I communicating with you? So, when God wanted to raise Joshua, he provided Moses, and that boy was following until he caught it. God said, take Joshua, in whom the Spirit is. He caught it. Elisha caught it. Esther was crafted under the hand of Mordecai until she became the queen. Many of you have great destiny, but when nobody trains your life for what lies ahead, many of the potentials are wasted. There's no life that is as a designer say, come, I will bear your responsibility until God has made you what you are supposed to be. So we are going to pray about this tonight. You are going to say, Lord, I want to take this yoke on myself. I want it. It's for your benefit. Mom, please finish reading it. Read your Lamentations. I want her to read. No time. There's a lot in all this, but it's okay. The Lord will help us.
27.
Yes.
It is good for a man that he should bear the yoke of divine disciplinary dealings in his youth.
Yes.
Let him sit alone uncomplaining.
Uncomplaining.
And keeping silent.
Let him keep silent.
In hope.
Yes.
Because God has laid the yoke upon him for his benefit.
It's for your benefit. Let me tell you, discipleship is for the benefit of the disciple rather than the discipler. When you see a discipler, somebody who is supposed to disciple you, only exploiting you, using you, is not doing well. Discipleship is for the benefit, is for you. Is for you. It's not so that they can just use you and dump you. No. Sometimes, when God has given me opportunity to raise people, and God has given me opportunity to raise lives over the years, and what I found is that, what a wonderful thing. When a life has become what God wants him to be, you can just sit down and see them doing very well. It's for their benefit. It's for you. I'm praying that God will make a way for you to be properly helped now that you are young. We are praying that it is not after many things are damaged that we will start struggling. I'm going to celebrate your marriages in the name of Jesus Christ. Because you will marry well. You will marry men women that are of virtue. When your homes are set, South Africa is going to have a different history. I'm telling you. Different history. Sometimes we struggle. What are we struggling with? There are not too many homes that we can use presently as discipleship model. Do you understand what I'm talking about? How difficult it is that you are looking for a woman who married her husband as a virgin and who has stayed with her husband for 40, 50 years and no problem. No baby from somewhere. When you look, and you want to settle on one, you suddenly discover that, you know, you see, before, you see, you keep yearning, before, the young girl that wanted to be guided is confused. You say, how can I now, even this one that I'm respecting? So that's why. What God is doing in your life is a beginning of a glory that will come. That's why we want you to bear this yoke now that you are young. You will be an answer to the cry of South Africa. In the name of Jesus Christ. You will, I know, God will do it. So let me leave room. Do you have any questions? If you have questions, we'll do it. If we don't, I ask Prof, let's go up. And then we'll discuss our practical discussion on the issue of the Student Congress, all that we have said, all that we are doing. If you have questions about it, I'm going to ask you a few questions to let me know if this Congress should continue. We don't just do it because we don't have something doing. We are busy. But we need to find out, is it useful? Is it desirable? Now, if it is, how can we go further with it?